Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us, Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, hoping it is just as beautiful where you are as it is where we are.
Dean, I hope they let you out of the chair today because it's beautiful outside.
Yeah, I can't wait to get outside and enjoy some outdoor time. What we were just talking about, how, you know, what a big difference it makes in one's demeanor, in, you know, your mood when there's some nice sunshine and some nice weather. Is that the effects of the vitamin D that we're getting from the sunshine that makes us feel so good?
I think that's probably a big part of it. I think most people know at this point that seasonal depression is linked to the lack of sunlight, relatively speaking, compared to, you know, what we see in the summertime. So I'm just glad that it's the sun is shining and it's warm outside.
Yeah, super, super, super nice. It'll make you feel great when you get outside today. A bunch of topics, but I want to just, you know, mention the phone number right at the top here. People have questions for Dr. Silver. You know, people would like to call in on our phone line. It's 312-981-7200. If you'd like to text in a question, 312-981-7200. And we'll be happy to get to your calls and comments in just a minute. You know, we haven't talked about COVID or vaccinations or anything for really quite a while now. Is there anything new on that front? Is there anything that people should be aware of?
No, I think, you know, the COVID cases are dropping. Certainly in our neck of the woods, we're seeing less and less hospitalizations. Deaths are dropping, down 8%. Emergency department visits, down 15%. So, you know, I think starting to see maybe a little seasonal variation to this virus, and we'll take it for sure.
Yeah, very definitely. So, you know, so that's good. Now, what kind of, where should we be with our vaccinations right now? Should we, you know, because we've always talked about how COVID is going to be something which is always around, may not be fatal the way that it once was at the beginning of the pandemic, but we should be up to date with COVID vaccines, flu vaccines. What else in terms of vaccines? What else should we be doing with all that?
Yeah, so the recommendations for COVID specifically are people over 50 and those with chronic medical conditions like asthma, high blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera. There's a new booster that's available, and they're recommending that those at-risk groups are boosted. Flu vaccine is a yearly vaccine, and it's never, by the way, it's never too late. So, you know, even though we're kind of coming out of the respiratory viral season, there still is flu, and particularly in the elderly, people are still getting sick and dying from flu. Not to forget about it. So anytime if you realize, hey, I never got my flu vaccine this year, now's a great time to go and get it. You certainly won't be waiting in line for it.
Yeah, and I've heard you know, from so many people about vaccines for other things as well. What is the vaccine that you get for the painful, very painful virus that people are getting? It's eluding me right now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about the shingles vaccine?
Shingles vaccine, yes. Anyone who has had shingles will tell you, for God's sake, go get your shingles vaccine because it's so incredibly painful. That's something that's recommended. And pneumonia, right? Shots people should routinely be getting, right?
Yeah, so for the shingles, you know, adults 50 and older, it's recommended. And like you say, you know, shingles can be extremely painful, and there's, you know, other complications of shingles that are unfavorable, let's say. So definitely a good idea. I recommend it for just about anybody. And then the pneumococcal vaccine, or the pneumonia vaccine, for adults greater than or equal to 65 years old.
Yeah.
So bottom line is that there are great vaccines out there to prevent you from getting sick from these are preventable illnesses, right? So get after it and talk to your doctor.
Yeah, there was a story that came out this week about potential health risks for a certain processed food, something that you might throw in your kid's lunchbox because it's easy. It seems like a fairly balanced lunch, I guess. It's some lunch meat, it's some crackers, sometimes there are some cookies, but there are some health risks that are involved in all of that. Is that a good thing, really, to be packing away for your kids? And generally, what is the safety of processed foods and fast foods, which seems to be more and more what America is leaning toward?
Yeah, and first of all, let me say, as the father of young children, I get it. It's so much easier to just throw a frozen pizza in the oven and be done with it than to, at the end of the day, and you've been working and tired, and your kids are complaining, and now you have to go to the grocery store and get vegetables and then force them to eat them. It's an uphill battle.
So I
understand, and I'm not condemning, but it's the evidence is clear, and we're talking about things like Lunchables, right? Just to pick one out of the hat,
right?
And the issue is that these foods are very high in salt and sugar, and hence why the kiddies like them, because they're designed to kind of tickle that part of the brain that likes those types of foods. They're also high in additives, things like BHA and dyes and MSG, which can affect brain chemistry. There's high fructose, which the body does not metabolize easily. And all of these chemicals, without, making a laundry list of them, can lead to early childhood obesity, which can link to diabetes, where they can directly lead to diabetes through the high sugar content. And then there's the cancer risk. I think it's so clear that this is not the type of food that really any of us should be eating, and most of all children who are so much more sensitive to the effects.
Yeah, and really, I mean, when it comes to packing a kid's lunch, I mean, a PB&J probably is that. I mean, how hard is that to make a PB&J for your kid? Or, I mean, I was going to say, you make a turkey sandwich or something like that, but the processed turkey is just about as bad as some of the other, high in sodium and sugar and all the things that you just pointed out. But, go and get yourself a turkey breast and roast it and then just slice it is 100 times
sure.
more healthy. And, how easy can it be to put a couple of slices of freshly roasted turkey on a couple of pieces of bread and send your kids to school with that for lunch?
Well, I think it's mindfulness. And I think also what I would say to people who would push back and say, come on, man, I just don't have the time. And I would say, do you have the time to be teaching your kid how to give themselves insulin shots? Do you have the time to deal with high blood pressure in a teenager? And do you have the time to be going to appointments for chemotherapy when their child develops cancer in 20 years? So I think that's the way that we try and think about it in our house. And you're absolutely right. Peanut butter and jelly. We get the sliced turkey from the deli that just comes right off the turkey, and that's kind of how we roll here in our house.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, there are plenty of alternatives. Dr. Silver, a text pointing out something very important that we should bring up. Now we're talking about taking a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to school. 847 area code says, I don't think you can bring peanut butter into your school lunches anymore. I hadn't thought about that, but with peanut allergies, I guess it is prohibited in some schools, I guess, or maybe all schools. I don't know.
Yes, that texture is right on the money. We certainly feed buckets of peanut butter and jelly to our kids, but you're right. We're not allowed to send it to school with them. So we do the turkey and cheese on the school days.
Yeah. Okay. So there's something to keep in mind that at home it's probably okay. If your kids don't have peanut allergies, at school it is not. Somebody very hilariously texts in from the 217 area code. Ask the doctor about safety guidelines regarding food left out in a lunchroom, which happened here at WGN this morning. There's a disgusting mess in our lunchroom that's been out for 24 hours. That's like super unsafe, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the old, I had some mayonnaise at the buffet and I thought it was safe. And then you end up with Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah, well, that's, that's apparently what, somebody was not thinking about when they left this big pile of mess that's out there right now. 847 area code, how long does the immunity stay with the person if they had COVID? So if somebody has COVID and then they are immune, how long does that last?
Yeah, the thought is that it wanes fairly quickly, that it drops over 4 to 6 months. Now, it varies across groups. So they know for sure that elderly people's immunity wanes much more quickly than a younger person. So, these are, of course, estimates based on research. None of it's hard and fast, but I think it's pretty clear that every 6 to 12 months, you're not as strong from an immune standpoint as you were the previous period.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about measles cases developing here in Chicago, although I think I read this week that in the city proper, cases of measles had now declined. But I did read that the first case of measles popped up in DuPage County. So apparently we're not done dealing with this yet. But the 815 area code texts in, I travel a lot. I'm 67. I never had measles. I had to push a bit, but I got shots for it, and I'm glad that I did. People who have contact with children ought to be in the know about making sure that they're up to date on their measles vaccines. Seems like that's more important than ever right now with the cases popping up that have not been popping up for years and years and years.
Absolutely. I would say to that person, thank you for being a good citizen, because that's what we're doing. We're creating a safety net for our communities when we go ahead and get vaccines. And like they say, it's making it safer for the people around you. So to bravo to them.
Here's Annette at 312-981-7200. You're on with Dr. Silver. Hi, Annette.
Hi, good morning, Dean. Good morning, doctor. My question is, I had shingles 5 years ago. I waited a year, my doctor told me. I got the shingles vaccine after that. And now I have shingles again.
Oh, boy.
The same area on the left side of my head and my face.
Hmm. I've actually had...
Is this unusual?
I've had a couple of other people, Doc, on the text line saying I've had the shingles vaccine and I've had shingles multiple times. Different people, saying different numbers of times. So is that uncommon that people who get the vaccine go ahead and get shingles multiple times anyway?
No, it's not uncommon. I would say, first of all, to the caller, I'm so sorry. My heart goes out to you, and I hope it disappears quickly. The vaccines, of course, aren't perfect, but they do help prevent disease in many folks, and in other folks, they help attenuate disease. So whereas if you hadn't had the vaccine, you might be even sicker than you are. It can at least reduce the effects, reduce the length of illness, reduce the risk of hospitalization, reduce complications. So I'd like to think, of course, you never know in any one particular person, that it's helping to some degree, but in some cases it just isn't enough.
I just have to wait it out.
Yeah. Typically, how long does this last, doctor, when somebody gets shingles? I assume you're in kind of an uncomfortable state right now, Annette. How long will this go for Annette and others who?
Well, I got this like the first week in March.
Okay,
so it's still going on.
So you've had it for a while. Typically, how long does that last, doctor?
They usually, shingles won't last longer than a month, but in some cases it can. I've seen it go 8 weeks before. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So make you feel even worse than you already do. But, I hope that your doctor is on top of this and helping you with symptom control. And if not, I would definitely want to get seen just to make sure that everything's going the way that it should be.
Yeah, Annette, good luck with all of that. And shingles is something that's inside of you anyway. It's not like you catch shingles from somebody. It's something that lays dormant in you that manifests itself, right?
Correct.
All right. So everybody be aware of all of that. Dr. Silver, always good to talk to you. Great info this week. We appreciate it. Dr. Jeremy Silver is the Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you.